So we're now going to be moving in to the next presentation, and this one is going to be delivered by Sumesh Chetty. He's a portfolio manager at 91. He's responsible for the absolute return strategy, and he's also the co-portfolio manager of the cautious managed strategy and the absolute balance strategy. And he's going to be delivering the next presentation looking at the resilience of quality, seeking certainty in uncertain times. Please join us on stage.
Like clockwork, the world turns.
Things change. And to really understand, we need to be here.
And there.
We need a new perspective.
A fresh connection.
How's everyone doing today?
A spark of inspiration.
We see the big picture.
Because we're where you are.
And beyond.
A global business.
That's just down the road.
From onshore.
To off.
In a changing world.
We're here for you.
And everywhere. For your money.
Isn't it time to change how you see investing?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sumesh. And today I'm going to be talking about quality, seeking certainty in uncertain times. And it really is such a great topic to talk about given the theme of this this conference. I'm holding a cell phone, I apologize, it seems a little bit rude, but it's a stopwatch, so I'm going to try and keep us on time, stick to the 20 minutes. And before I start, I just want to make one thing clear. In everything we say today, valuation matters. If you buy something that's overvalued, you're not going to outperform the market over the long term. Ultimately, you're looking for things that are trading at their fair value, that are trading below their fair value. That's how you actually generate alpha in the market. And there are different styles, obviously. The one that I want to talk about is quality. But I'm not really going to get into valuation. I want to focus on quality. And when we think about quality, we think about the theory of quality investing. The starting point is return on invested capital. So effectively, if you're investing today, you want to buy a business that has a management team where they're generating very high and sustainable returns on invested capital. Now, what is this concept of return on invested capital? Most investors think about total shareholder returns. Invested capital, return on invested capital, has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the market. It doesn't matter what the share prices are doing. It doesn't matter whether appropriate dividends are being paid or not. It relates to the operations of the business. The operating earnings of a business, after tax, divided by the capital base that a management team has available to invest. The equity capital that they have available to them, and the debt capital that they have available to them. And if a management team is generating returns on invested capital, that are above the weighted average cost of capital, they're creating economic value. If they are generating returns on invested capital below the weighted average cost of capital, they are destroying economic value. So ultimately, when you're investing, you want those high returns on invested capital, and you want to ensure that those high returns on invested capital are sustainable. You want companies with strong balance sheets, you want companies with strong cash flow generation, and those companies or those management teams must have sufficient opportunities available to them so they can deploy that cash, reinvest that cash, to keep generating said high return on invested capital. Which you come back to this concept of valuations. And the market typically looks at things and says, hey, we're applying a mean reversion philosophy to everything. Nothing that's extraordinarily high is sustainable. So if you have a company with very high returns on invested capital, the market assumes those high returns are going to trend down to the mean of the market, the mean return on invested capital. And as a result, we believe that the market continually underprices these businesses that are able to sustain these high returns on invested capital. If for whatever reason the market turns out to be wrong, that return on invested capital that, let's say, started at 20 and the market assumed was going down to 10, actually is able to be sustained at 20%. That's how you make money. That's how you've ultimately bought a business very cheaply relative to the prospects of the business. So our starting point was to determine, well, what's the fade rate of return on invested capital in the market? Do you actually find returns fading to the market average over time? Do they do so very quickly? How does it look across industries? So we started by looking at MSCI All Countries, the MSCI All Countries World Index. So 90% developed markets, 10% emerging markets. And we split the index into quartiles, not according to market cap, but just in terms of number of companies. Approximately 3,000 companies, split them according to highest return on invested capital, quartile one, quartile four has lowest return on invested capital. We looked at data from 1990 to 2022, it's the graph on the left-hand side, and then we tracked the progression of the return on invested capital in each of the quartiles over rolling five-year periods. And what we found was that quartile one companies started with returns on invested capital 15% above the market average, and over the five-year period trended down to about 9%. So still sustainably in excess of the market average, but faded, did trend down. And similarly, if you looked at businesses that had below average returns on invested capital, that quartile four, starting at approximately 14%, they actually ended the five-year period with a return on invested capital that was only about 7% below the average. So we said, okay, this is a good starting point. We want to look at those businesses that sit in quartile one, and let's unpack that and take a look at those businesses at an industry level, the graph on the right-hand side. And so when we decomposed those quartile one returns into various industries, what we found is that there were three areas or three specific industries, according to GICS sectors, that showed far greater persistency than the rest: consumer staples, healthcare, and information technology. And this wasn't really a surprise, because when we thought about it, ultimately those three sectors have high exposure to investment in brands, have high exposure to research and development, and they have very high exposure to scale. And all three of those areas require significant investment. And so that was effectively creating a barrier to entry within those sectors. And interestingly, and especially as South African investors exposed to the composition of market we are, the businesses that actually demonstrated the greatest fade rate were those businesses that were highly cyclical, exposed to extractive industries, energy, commodities, or even those businesses with a high amount of leverage, banks or even insurers, if you think about assets versus liabilities and them not being matched. And so this excited us and said, okay, this is a great starting point. And unsurprisingly, when you look at most quality portfolios, there's a lot of exposure to those consumer staples, to IT businesses, and to healthcare businesses. But we still had to determine whether the high returns on invested capital ultimately resulted in alpha or outperformance of the market. So we did a second exercise. And we said, okay, let's establish whether, if you invest in a high return on invested capital business, you will generate that outperformance and you can do it consistently. And then another question popped into our mind, and we said, but what if we can find a business that's below average, like in that fourth quartile, generating below average return on invested capital, and the management team, according to our analysis, is going to ultimately generate very high returns on invested capital? Surely that's an opportunity to generate significant outperformance. So for simplicity, we said, okay, let's just look at this on a four-bucket basis. Bucket one, on the left-hand side, those companies that at the start of the period, same period, 1990 to 2022, still looking at it on a rolling five-year basis, those companies that started with above-average return on invested capital and ended with above-average return on invested capital. Bucket two, start above average and end below average. Bucket three, start below average and end above average. And bucket four, start below average and end below average. And what we found was that if you were in bucket one, if you started as an above average return on invested capital generator and you ended above average, you outperformed over that period the MSCI ACWI by 3.7% in dollars. But fascinatingly, if you were a business that started with below average return on invested capital, and you ended with above average return on invested capital, you generated a whopping 5.8% of outperformance relative to an index. Far superior outperformance than high ROIC, remaining high ROIC. But we looked at this and we said, how many companies actually did this? If we look at the sample set, bucket one, 72% of companies that started in the top half remained in the top half. Whereas bucket three, only 28% of companies that started in the bottom half migrated to the top half. So there's a fair degree of persistency as it existed within these buckets. And so that excited us, because ultimately we're saying, if you just start with the single factor of return on invested capital, that's already a fantastic starting point enabling you to generate that alpha that you need in the portfolio. The problem, however, is that if you just throw darts at quartile one or that top half, is if you get it wrong. If the market's looking at a company and thinking, hey, well, maybe this is a little bit sustainable, but it turns out it's not, top half or above average return on invested capital becomes below average return on invested capital, you generate underperformance relative to the index of 7%. 7% underperformance relative to MSCI all countries. So we had to find a way. We said, well, you can't just focus on return on invested capital. You actually have to start thinking critically about those businesses that start in the top half and weed out those businesses that don't actually have the ability to protect their model. And so we said, we need to come up with additional things to look at. This is our definition of quality. The five key attributes that we believe allow a company to sustain that higher return on invested capital. Attribute number one, competitive advantages. Competitive advantages that have been developed over decades, competitive advantages that have been developed over a century in some cases. Think about businesses like Nestle, think about businesses like Microsoft, either dominant in terms of the product suite that they've developed or dominant in terms of the type of product that's embedded in the imagination of consumers. We also want businesses that are dominant within their industry. They need to be operating in growing industries. Think about businesses like ASML, for example, that is the only owner of the IP for extreme ultraviolet lithography projectors. And why is this important? Because extreme ultraviolet lithography is ultimately the technology required to carve the chip architecture on chips below 3 nanometers. And if you don't have that, you aren't going to be a competitor within the AI space. Similarly, we also wanted businesses with very low economic sensitivity. We didn't want businesses exposed to the cycle. We don't want businesses where top lines are completely unforecastable, because this also doesn't give management the certainty in terms of investing. It brings opportunity, don't get me wrong, but that opportunity is completely unforecastable, and you have to be really nimble in terms of taking advantage of that opportunity. In keeping with that, we want healthy balance sheets. We don't like leverage. We don't like businesses that are highly acquisitive. We don't like businesses that have a lot of goodwill or intangibles on their balance sheet, because again, that creates uncertainty when there are economic downturns. And then finally, we were looking for businesses that were highly cash flow generative and were able to deploy that cash flow. Because ultimately, in order to sustain those high returns on invested capital, you have to continue investing. You have to have that opportunity to continue investing. And what this means, in very simple terms, is you end up with some of the best businesses in the world. Businesses that are entrenched in the mind of the consumer, businesses that are entrenched potentially in the lifestyle that a particular consumer has. So we think about businesses like Johnson & Johnson. You start your day in the morning, maybe you're going to wash your hair with Johnson & Johnson's shampoo. You reach for your first cup of coffee, and it might be, there's a 25% probability, it's a Nestlé cup of coffee, because they have 25% market share in almost every market in the world today. You get to work, boot up your PC, boot up your laptop. What are you using? Most likely Excel, PowerPoint, Word, because there's still nothing better that integrates relative to those products. Do a little bit of shopping during the day, pull out your Visa card. Get home in the evening, maybe play a little bit of FIFA, Electronic Arts. Scroll on your cell phone, ultimately chip technology, depending on ASML, and then prior to going to bed, starting to repeat the process, making use of Beiersdorf products, Nivea, for example. So what this means ultimately is you have products by businesses where almost irrespective of the state of the economy, demand for product continues, either because the consumer is so dependent on these products, or because these products represent relatively small capital outlays from consumers, or both. Think about this another way. How bad do you think conditions need to be in the economy today before you decide you're only going to brush your teeth once a day? And that's how we think about quality. So you have to forgive me now. This is not a marketing presentation, but I do have to evidence what I'm talking about. So I do need to show you a little bit of performance in terms of what we've done. On the left-hand side, that's our quality portfolio, global franchise. And this is performance since inception in 2007. On the right-hand side is MSCI ACWI, total returns from the portfolio versus the index as a whole. The slide is not about the outperformance that's been generated. The outperformance is heartening. Of course, we'd be very upset if we didn't outperform the market. What's more important, though, is what investors typically focus on. Think about the environment that we're in today. What's dominant? Magnificent Seven. Why is it dominant? Because people think the Magnificent Seven are going to the moon. What are they benefiting from the Magnificent Seven in the short terms? Re-ratings. But over time, when you think about market ratings on a stock level, on a market as a whole level, not a lot actually emerges from re-ratings. You often hear value managers say, well, actually something is so far below its long-term average, I'm piling into this because I'm going to benefit from that re-rating. And as a result of this focus on re-rating, investors often miss the plot over the very long term. If you take a look at MSCI ACWI on the right-hand side, that little bar in the middle, the green bar, actually represents the return that has emerged from MSCI ACWI on a re-rating basis since 2007. It's only 1%. It's there and thereabouts with what we've delivered. Almost no benefit either. Dividends, there and thereabouts. But what ultimately matters for true compounding of returns, what ultimately drives share prices higher, is the fundamental growth in the business, the earnings growth that a business is delivering. And by focusing on this quality strategy, we've managed to outgrow the earnings of the market by 2 times, 6% versus 3%. And you can only deliver that quantum of growth if you focus on return on invested capital, because ultimately earnings are a function of return on invested capital, and that return on invested capital needs to be sustainably high in order to keep generating said return on invested capital. But the overall return is interesting. This doesn't really give you a sense of the resilience of quality, because ultimately quality could result in very, very volatile performance over the short term, and over long periods, over 20 years, perhaps you get this degree of outperformance. So we did one more exercise for you, and we said, okay, let's split up the returns that are actually emerging from our quality portfolio into 3 distinct periods to truly understand what we're delivering for our clients. We decided to basically look at strong markets, moderate markets, and falling markets. How did we define these? Strong markets, MSCI on a rolling 12-month basis is delivering a return in excess of 10% in dollars. Moderate markets, MSCI is delivering a return of between 0 and 10% on a 12-month basis. So a little bit of volatility emerging in the markets. And then falling markets, MSCI is delivering a return of less than 0 on a rolling 12-month basis. Green bars represent that quality strategy. The pink bars represent MSCI ACWI. And what's very apparent is that over short periods of time, in strongly running markets, you can actually underperform the MSCI ACWI. It shouldn't come as a surprise. You know, you think about quality portfolios today, you think about any sort of reasonable valuation, you're not overweight NVIDIA in a portfolio. You're potentially holding zero NVIDIA in a portfolio, and that degree of underperformance would be expected. So over time, we've seen 17.6% versus the 20.7%, but that gap could be significantly larger. In the current period, you could see a gap of up to 5%. But where it starts getting interesting is when volatility starts emerging within the market. In moderate markets, you have the MSCI over that rolling 12-month period delivering a return of 5.1%, and that quality philosophy really starts coming to the fore because of the consistency of return that's being generated, that almost independence of whatever economic cycle or the economic conditions that exist are. And you have this return of 8.7% versus 5.1%. But what excites us most, what gets us out of bed in the morning, is the degree of outperformance that you can generate when markets are falling. On average, in falling markets over that period, MSCI down 12.7%. But focusing on quality could result in a return that's only down 5%. Now, I appreciate that the performance that's being delivered here is predominantly in falling markets and predominantly in volatile markets, but we're comfortable with that. We're very comfortable participating meaningfully when markets are rising, but where we really want to show the strength of quality is in that volatility to falling markets. And ultimately what that means is compounding that, putting that together, losing less money when markets are falling while still participating when markets are rising, gives you an overall outperformance of the market. And this is what excites us about quality, the resilience that's ultimately delivered for a portfolio by incorporating this. Thank you very much for your time. Are there any questions? Question over there.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, good. Great presentation, and understand the quality style, especially when applied to global markets, where you have 4,000 stocks, you can whittle down probably to 40 good quality one. What is your view of the applicability of this strategy in South Africa when you have 40 good tradable companies? Do you think it can work here? And if it doesn't work as well, what sort of workarounds do you do?
So it obviously doesn't work as well. Because if you think about South African markets, you know, as I've already suggested, the SA market is dominated by resource companies, insurance companies, and banks. So there's a lot of leverage, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unforecastability. But you still have to potentially build portfolios in South Africa. And interestingly, and it obviously depends on your definition, the 40 companies that you mentioned, or the number that you mentioned, that's the number we have in our minds as well, that they're about 40 quality businesses that we can get behind in the portfolio. But what it does require you to do when you're constructing the portfolios is still take cognizance of those three areas. And what you have to do is invest in the highest quality of the businesses that exist within those areas. So very simply, if we think about extractive industries, we think BHP Billiton is the highest quality mining company that you can buy in South Africa. And I appreciate, though, that given that it's a commodity company, you're not going to see returns on invested capital that are sitting in the 20s, 30s, 60s, the sort of returns that you can get offshore. BHP Billiton tends to make a weighted average cost of capital plus 2, 3, or 4%. And that's an exceptional return, or an exceptional return on invested capital for an extractive business. When it comes to the banks, again, you've got to go best of breed. And typically, we think about that in terms of Standard Bank, in terms of First Rand, and in terms of Capitec. But with Capitec, you've got to be a little bit concerned because of valuations. Everyone acknowledges the brilliance of Capitec, and you see the growth. And then in terms of insurers, I don't think I'm going to put a name out because I'm probably going to end up offending someone in the room if I don't mention the company. But there's one exceptionally high quality insurer in South Africa, and so we get very excited about that in the portfolio. Then outside of that, it's interesting because even though you're looking at the country and you're saying, well, there's not a lot of quality to be had because of the type of industries we have, it isn't such a clear picture either in terms of the businesses that would traditionally be labeled quality because of the prospects for the SA economy, the prospects that we've seen to the consumer, and just the mismanagement of some of those businesses. Tiger Brands used to be one of the highest quality businesses in South Africa for absolute decades. It was destroyed when they went into Nigeria. Tons of incorrect decisions, poor capital allocation decisions. Management actually took their eye off the ball in terms of the cash flow within the business. It should be a quality business, no longer. AVI remains an exceptionally high quality business, continues to generate high returns on invested capital. However, it doesn't have opportunities for growth. So the irony is AVI is trying to shrink itself into brilliance. So it's not so easy just to say three industries that are dominant, you exclude it, isn't quality. The state of the economy is such that it also makes it difficult. So it completely shrinks that opportunity size. Where South African investors have been extremely fortunate is for whatever reason, we've had global businesses, exceptional global businesses, listed locally, and we've also had some exceptional management teams that have globalized their businesses. SAB, top of mind, obviously taken out. But you know, the likes of British American Tobacco, Amondi, Richemont, we get access to them without making use of that 45%. And so you can build an appropriate portfolio. And the problem, interestingly, has been less of a concern for the last 10 to 12 years because our equity market has just been ridiculously overpriced. And when you can invest in bonds over equities, a little bit of the problem goes away. It's a little bit of a cheat.
Okay. Of course. So we're going to take a 15-minute break.
There's one more question.
So because of the break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to approach. Can you approach
of
you
course.
During the tea break? And then you can have the discussion.
Do I have to be chaperoned? Or
No. Okay. We can discuss it anyway. So we're going to take a 15-minute break, and then, again, your tea and your coffee, and you can just stretch yourself. And then we're going to come back and get into the next panel discussion. Sumesh, that was fantastic. And I love a man who keeps time, so thank you so much for
that. Thank you.